Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on a Friday. It's always great to talk about Brewers Outlet as well. Brewers Outlet, what a great place to stop in. I know every time I'm in the Sunbury area, I always stop there. And there's a reason for that. I stock up. Everyone knows I love the pickle bar. There are two in particular. I love the barrel pickles. I love the dill pickles very, very much. But there's also a bag of fresh hot roasted peanuts waiting for me at the register. There's a wide, wide variety of beverages to choose from. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. And I've got a lot of people coming in for the holidays this year, and I'm going to make a special trip over there because I want to, I want to spend my money there. I want to spend it with people that I think go the extra mile, and that's Brewers Outlet. It also includes soft drinks, snacks, water, and as I mentioned, the fresh hot roasted peanuts of the pickle bar, all at Brewers Outlet. Gift certificates available there as well. Plenty of free parking. Plenty of help in what's a well-laid-out store. Plenty of help to get those cases to the car. You got a lot of people stopping over for the holidays, or you're also going places for the holidays yourself, and you'd like to walk over there, drive over there with something in your hand. You don't want to be empty-handed going there. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf, where it was a tough day where Kevin had to turn in the vehicle again today to the great people at Sunbury Motors.
Yeah, $4,000 off the sticker price will make you think, maybe I need to put a bow on this and put it in the driveway very, very soon, because the Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to get you around, to get the family around, to have enough room to store groceries, to do the shopping, to do all the running that you would normally do, whether it's to basketball practice, wrestling, cheerleading, whatever it might be. There's plenty of room in this vehicle to do that, and a very comfortable vehicle with leather interior, seating for five. You have the heated air-cooled seats on the driver's side, plus two settings on the heated air-cooled seats on both sides, the driver's side and the passenger side, plus the option to save your driver's seat settings, which is really good if you have two people that drive the vehicle that want the seat in a different set, a different position. And if you have an automatic seat, you know what I'm talking about. You find that sweet spot, and then somebody else gets in the vehicle and screws it all up for you. You can actually have two different save positions. You just hit the button, and the seat just automatically adjusts exactly how you like it. Just one of the many great options on the Hyundai Santa Fe that's available right now from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. More details on that at sunburymotors.com, as well as on my Facebook page and at Kevin Herr on Twitter.
Time now for our play-by-play call of the day, going back to last night.
Third and goal from the 7. Teddy takes the snap, looks out to the right, swings it to the left, man wide open, touchdown! It's Mike Wallace with a touchdown. That's his first touchdown in more than 2 months. And it's 20-19 Arizona.
Tied the game up in Arizona, then drove downfield, got a field goal, and the game ended on a third down play when Dwight Freeney stripped the ball from Teddy Bridgewater and Calais Campbell recovered it and ended the game. That was the final play. As the Cardinals continue to win, they have now clinched a playoff spot in the NFC. They haven't clinched a first-round bye just yet, but they have clinched a playoff spot. They are in, and it's the first time in franchise history that the Arizona Cardinals or the Phoenix Cardinals or the St. Louis Cardinals or the Chicago Cardinals, first time in franchise history going all the way back to the beginning, that they've had back-to-back 11-win seasons. All right. Kale Sanderson and the Nittany Lion wrestling program. They will be wrestling in the Jordan Center. Sunday at 1 o'clock, they will take on Wisconsin. And we welcome in the head coach of the Nittany Lions, Kale Sanderson.
Thanks for having me.
Seasons are a process. Process starts, you know, in the off season and works its way through. So now you're in the process of this season. When you've looked at the progress of the process to this point, what have you seen in your team?
Well, I think we have an exciting team. I think there are a lot of high expectations coming in, but I think our freshmen have done a great job, and they're competing very boldly and very confidently, and that, you know, that gives us a very good team because we have some very strong veterans in Nico Megalutis and Morgan McIntosh and Jordan Conaway. So when you add these younger guys in, it makes for a good team.
Nico Megalutis, of course, did not wrestle last year. So as he's bounced back into collegiate wrestling again, what have you liked about what he's done to this point, and where can the growth be?
Well, I think he's a little bit bigger and stronger, and it's just a little bit because he's just a 125 pounder, but he's looking better every match. I think early he's a little antsy and a little more anxious than he normally would be. But coming off a year off, he's never taken a year off in his life. So, but he's looking good. He's very consistent. He's a guy that goes 100 miles an hour every second of the match, and he is an excellent leadoff man for us.
Zane Rutherford is also in that same boat, Kale, where he also did not wrestle last year. So how has he jumped back into the fray?
Well, I think Zane's looked incredible. He was an animal as a true freshman, and I think if you watched him now, compared to as a true freshman, you would think that he was stalling as a true freshman. I mean, he's really like stepped up his game. He's scoring a lot of points. He's moving forward the whole time, and he's a kid that you just kind of sit back and be grateful that he's on your team.
Is that just maturity, or is it something that he saw and you saw that he made a subtle change to be more aggressive?
Well, he's always competed. Very, I would say, hard. I mean, he's always trying to score points. He was just more of a mat wrestler. So he would take you down and just try to beat you up on the mat, where now he's really improved a lot on his feet. So he's I don't know if he's as good on his feet as he is on the mat, because he's very, very good on the mat. But he is very good on his feet, as his attacks are a lot stronger, his setups, and he's a lot of fun to watch right now.
Morgan McIntosh, what will he need to do as this season progresses to make the all-important next step?
Well, Morgan just has to go wrestle. You know, the only time he usually somebody can compete with him is if he stands around and lets time tick off the clock and leaves it up to one takedown, or he's been caught twice at the Nationals in that type of style. In the quarterfinals last year, he lost a match on one takedown. He's a kid. He's incredibly talented. Very good wrestler. Obviously, he's but to take a step and to win the national title, he needs to be a little more aggressive, and just he can't be wrestling, first periods 0-0. He needs to go get some points.
What kind of step is it in reality to be a high school senior wrestler and then be a collegiate wrestler on this level? Because you've had some freshmen step in and do some really good things for you. What does that take to make that jump?
That's a good question. That's what we look for and we're trying to figure out as we're recruiting. But it's just an attitude thing. It's a confidence thing. I think it's about being fearless. You don't have to wait your turn. And a lot of kids think they need to wait their turn. They think they, need a couple years of experience, where, you don't need that. Especially now, today, these guys, they have a lot of exposure to Olympic regional training centers and exposure to all kinds of video and technique online. It's just a different era. These guys are ready to, they're ready to win right away. But, their attitudes and their mindsets have to match, that available technique and, those resources they have out there.
And you have freshmen scoring for you right now, and significantly, and they've impressed people. Did you see this in them, that intangible you just talked about, or is it something that you have to discover once they get here?
Well, I think, we saw a degree of it when we were recruiting them. That's why we did recruit them. I mean, we look more for attitude when we're recruiting kids. But at what level will they step up as freshmen? You know, that's, you know, you don't really know that until they get in here and get into the next level. But I don't think there are any great surprises with, like, you know, Jason Nolf and Bo Nickel are two of the freshmen that are really competing well right now. And I think Nick Nevels, had he not gotten injured, would be in the same boat there, you know, competing with those two. But, yeah, and they feed off each other, and I think right now we have a great team. We have a great dynamic where they're all competing with each other in a good way, you know, trying to – but they want to win as a team, and they want to see each other be successful. You know, that really helps a lot.
Do they understand yet the process on this level, or is that still a learning process, even though they're very talented freshmen?
Well, I think they're trying to build their reputation. I mean, that's something we talk about right away is, you know, you got to build your reputation for the kind of competitor you are. You know, you want to make sure your opponents don't want to compete against you again, and I think that's what our freshmen are doing.
Your staff, give me an idea what kind of teachers your staff happen to be with these guys, because hey, they're ultra-talented kids, but still really good ones want to be coached. So what is it about this and the job your guys do with them?
Well, I think you know, what we try to do is just lead by example. You know, we just try to share our passion for the sport, for competing, for getting better, for the process. And I don't think there's really any other way that's effective is other than just to lead by example. You know, we got to be coachable. We got to do all those things that we're asking them to do. We've got to love to compete and train hard and work hard and be willing to adapt and do those little things that we're asking them to do. But again, it does come down to just getting the right kids in the program, and that goes, you know, along with your staff as well. We have a great staff. We get along and we work hard together and trust each other and complement each other. So things are pretty solid right now.
But that still is something. The really good ones really do want to be coached.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think the best ones will say, hey, coach, I want to win. You tell me what I need to do, and I'll do it because, you know, I'm not going to take any chances. I'm not going to roll any dice and think that I can do it my way. I want to know what it takes to be successful, and that's what the very best do.
Yeah, and that's what you see in every sport, every level. I know a lot of people say, oh, that's X. He doesn't need to be coached. They're absolutely wrong. They're the first guys to tell you that they're aching to be coached, and they see it all the time. Let's take a question from gopsusports.com/askthecoach, sponsored by PNC Virtual Wallet. This is from Hal in Port Matilda, asking about the BJC duel. He said, do you see more duels in the BJC down the road, and would a permanent move to that building be a possibility?
You know, I don't know. I don't think so right now because we have we put two matches over there this year. The Ohio State one's going to sell out pretty easily, but we still have tickets for this Wisconsin match. So I think that for me, that's why I wanted to see what kind of demand we had, and we're seeing that, you know, maybe we're not quite ready to move to the BJC or even move more matches. We would never leave Rec Hall, obviously. I mean, that's our home base. But as far as moving more matches away from Rec Hall, or in getting a few more into BJC, I mean, it'll depend. But you know, a lot of it's just, you know, we're learning as we go, but if we can sell 15,000 tickets, well, I mean, you know, why would you not want to do that?
Sure, of course. Yet you go into Rec Hall, you see what the great crowd is like there. What do your guys tell you about what it's like to wrestle in there?
Well, they love Rec Hall. I mean, it's very intense. They love the tradition. They love the history. You know, the fans are right next to the mat. You know, I mean, it's not uncommon for wrestlers to go flying into the stands and, you know, get caught by our great fans. So, you know, it is just straight up great places to compete. I mean, we love Rec Hall. It's a great advantage for our team, and we know competitors certainly don't like to step in there and compete.
No, managing your finances is a touchdown with PNC Virtual Wallet. Visit PNCVirtualWallet.com. PNC Bank, for the Achiever and you, official sponsor of Penn State football. PNC Bank, National Association member, FDIC. How do you want to handle heavyweight right now?
Well, we are working on it. You know, we have a lot of options. Guys trying to get back. You know, Nick Nevels is trying to get back. You know, Jan Johnson will be back soon. He was, you know, just had his knee scoped. And I wouldn't say that if it wasn't a minor operation, right? If it was something serious, I wouldn't be talking about it. But it's something that he'll be 100% probably a week or two from now. So, you know, Anthony Cassar is another kid who's was on a roster who's trying to get back into school and get healed up. So, and we have some lightweight guys that are trying to beef up. You know, they have to weigh 190 pounds. So we have a couple guys. That, and you might see that this week. You might see a 190-pounder step out there and compete for us. We'll see.
You mentioned earlier in a previous answer about veterans, and you mentioned Conway. You mentioned did not mention Jimmy Gulabon. What have they done for you so far? What do you like about what they've done so far?
With our leaders?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to have leadership. I mean, you got to have people that, you know, bring your team together and obviously lead by example, that build each other up. You know, I would say, you know, we had some great wrestlers and but I think our leader right now, I would say, would be Zane Rutherford. Just the way he's so consistent every day, the way he competes. You know, you can't. It's hard to have a leader who's not consistent in all aspects, academically, socially, in every practice. You know, and in every competition, Zane's the same person. Whether it's, you know, the day before the national tournament, or you know, it's at a workout in August, he's 100%, you know, full speed ahead. So. And also a very coachable kid, you know, one of those qualities you talked about, you know, a few moments ago. So I think his leadership has been outstanding, and the fact that he's only a sophomore really helps us out. We also have great guys like Nico Magaludis,
right?
You know, who's a senior who there's not a better leadoff man in the country, yeah. Because he really shows teams right away that, you know, we're coming after you. And I love that about him.
And finally, for those who are going to the dual meet in the Jordan Center on Sunday with Wisconsin, what sticks out to you about them when you take a look at their lineup?
Well, they have, you know, they're a Midwestern team, obviously, and, you know, wrestling's very strong in Wisconsin and the surrounding states. So, you know, they always have a very solid lineup. They have some, I'm not sure who they're going to have in their lineup. Their 33-pounder is one of the national title contender. Whether he'll be competing or not, I'm not sure. Their 65-pounder is, you know, ranked second, I believe. And so up and down their lineup, it's a good team. But we're just looking forward to a great atmosphere. You know, they do a great job over there. It's like a rock concert in a way, you know, and we enjoy it. And it's our job to entertain people. And, you know, that's what we tell our kids. If, you know, you want these people to come back and support you, well, you better give them something to cheer about out there. And you know, I'm very confident that this team will do that because they are fun to watch.
Well, you've done that for years and you continue to do it. Thanks so much. Appreciate the time very much. It's great having you.
Yeah,
here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's Cale Sanderson, courtesy of Learfield Sports. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
So they'll wrestle at 1 o'clock Sunday in the Jordan Center against Wisconsin. And if you'd like to go and sit back and say, well, gee, you know, they're always sold out. Well, this is not sold out, just so you know. And our thanks to Cale Sanderson for carving out some time.
Steve Williams is really upset because this is like the only time he is in state college when there's a chance for him to see the Nittany Lions wrestle and wrestle Wisconsin, and he's there for Little Lions and Chickalimmie at 1:30 on WKOK. So he was trying to get them to postpone the match or start it earlier so he could hop over to the BJC. It unfortunately did not work out for him.
Okay. Sorry about that. Wish he could go. That'd be great. But that's Sunday at 1 o'clock, and tickets are available. Tomorrow's Army-Navy, by the way. Sal Interdonato is going to join us from the Army Radio Network to talk about what the Army-Navy game means and what he has witnessed over the years from his perspective in the next half hour. Should be fun. It's been a fun show. You know, we've had about how many weeks in a row we've had, it seems like one fun show after another.
Every show is fun, no matter what.
No, but I mean, seriously, think about the guests that we've had on here in the last, I don't know, how many months now. You know, very rare when we have a show where there's no guest. Very rare when we have just one guest. I mean, like today we've had three.
And I can't tell you.
We're going to have three.
I can't tell you a show where Doc Emmerich's been on, followed by Cale Sanderson the next day. Doesn't get much better than
doesn't,
that.
No, it doesn't usually happen, does it? No. All right. Great to have you with us today. We're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Sal Interdonato, Army Radio Network on Army-Navy tomorrow in Philadelphia. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, today we're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection anywhere. Water, soft drinks, snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every single day. And the pickle bar is second to none. And, of course, you don't forget about gift cards, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right. Time now for the sports bozo of the day, and this is a beauty. Travis Ford is the head basketball coach at Oklahoma State. He played, in fact, at Kentucky, was the head coach at one point in his career at UMass, and then took over the Oklahoma State job. He's had a decent run. Overall, when it comes to what's gone on at Oklahoma State, well, coaches don't usually get a lot of time off. So he had a little bit of time off last night, so what did he decide to do? Well, he decided to go over and watch his son play last night. And when he went in to watch the game, guess what happened? He got thrown out of the game. That's right. The head coach at Oklahoma State got thrown out of his kid's biddy ball game. Amazing, isn't it? That's our sports bozo of the day. All right, tomorrow's Army-Navy. There are FCS games tomorrow, playoff games. But the one FBS game tomorrow is Army-Navy taking place at the Link in Philadelphia. And Sal Interdonato, friend of Kevin's, friend of mine, who works with the Times Herald Record and also on the Army Radio Network, joins us. Sal, it was great to hear from you back in October. It's great to have you back.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, we're thrilled to have you. Okay, just the pure game itself. If someone has never been to an Army-Navy game, how would you describe, especially the pregame building up to the kickoff and the pageantry around it?
Yeah, it's one of a kind. I mean, just the march on from the Army, the entire Corps of Army cadets, and the 4,000 midshipmen marching on. You know, that's the one thing Army wins every year, is the march on. And, you know, just the whole pageant, you're going to have the Secretary of the Army there, the Secretary of the Navy there, the Secretary of Defense there. There's been past presidents there. I've been there, you know, when the past presidents have been on the field for the coin toss. It's just a pretty neat thing. And there's so much around Lincoln Financial Field, too, with the activities going on before the game. You know, game day is going to be there. You know, that's for the second straight year. There's a lot of stuff going on there. It's pretty neat to see the emotion, too, of the players. Even in pregame, they're pretty pumped up for the, you know, they're pretty, you know, pumped up for the game.
13 straight years, though, Navy has won this game over Army. Sal, why? Is it just pure talent? I mean, I know Army's changed coaches over time. Why, from your perspective?
I think it's like stability with Navy. I mean, they went from Paul Johnson to Kenny Amatalolo, and they didn't really miss a beat. You know, it's better players. The talent is there. When you win, you're able to recruit better players over your service academy counterpart. And I also think it's sometimes it's luck. I mean, you see some of the plays that happen in these Army Navy games, and they usually fall on Navy's side. I mean, the Trent Steelman going into the end zone a couple right. years back, loses the ball, and Wyatt Middleton returns it 99 yards for a touchdown at the end of the first half. That's a play I've never seen ever again.
Right.
And last year, I mean, there was a little bit of Army's in control of this game, 7-0. There's 2 minutes left in the first half. Fourth and one, they run a play, they get the first down inside Navy's 30, but no, Navy is granted a timeout, come back after the timeout, and Navy stuffs them, takes over the ball, goes down and scores, tie the game up at 7-7, and that's a 17-10 game last year.
Right. Saw Keenan Reynolds in person when he was a freshman in 2012, and all of us walked away greatly impressed by him. When you look at Navy and Keenan Reynolds at quarterback, and you've seen a lot of quarterbacks that run this style of offense because you see it every single day. Teams, they both run the same style of offense. What are some of the ingredients that he brings that Army is going to have to somehow slow down?
Well, I think his decision-making. You know, he's been the quarterback for 4 years. He just always seems to make the right plays. He's able to, you know, we'll call it an audible. He's able to, you know, play comes in, he's able to change it up at the line of scrimmage and see the defense and run a play, you know. That works, and that usually they hit big yards on or even score touchdowns on. And that's something that Army doesn't have. They just don't have a quarterback who's that experienced to do that stuff at the line of scrimmage. They barely sometimes get the play call in on time. You know, so there's that experience where Keenan Reynolds is just comfortable. And you know what? He's really hurt Army throwing the ball in the games he's played against them, too. And that's something I think that, you know, you don't think of Keenan Reynolds. You think of all his rushing touchdowns. You know, he's the record holder in the NCAA for that. But, you know, he makes the big throws when he has to do. So.
In fact, you completed one pass against Penn State, and it actually was for a big play in the game. But you've also had a revolving door at quarterback this year at Army. How did that end up playing itself out, Sal?
Well, you know what? I mean, there's been a lot of injuries with Ahmad Bradshaw and A.J. Short. They've been banged up, and they finally let freshman Chris Carter. They gave him a chance against Rutgers. And, you know, they lost the game by 10 to Rutgers. It was the kid's first snaps in college. And he, you know, he afforded himself pretty well. And I think that he deserves a chance to start in this game. Now, Coach Munkin hasn't announced an official quarterback, but watching practice earlier this week, Carter was taking most of the first team snaps. You know, he's a really quick guy. He just changed the pace of the game a little bit. And he makes really good decisions for being a young guy on the pitch play. You know, he waits to the last minute. He'll take the hit and he'll pitch the ball. And the Army can get some yardage out of that. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think that Chris Carter will start the game, and they'll see how it goes, and Bradshaw's right. ready if anything happens with Chris. So,
when you've been on campus to watch practice, what's the atmosphere like on campus this week?
You know, it's just around the practice itself, it's pretty pumped up. I mean, Jeremy Timpton wants to say this was Army's bowl gamer, but it's the biggest game of the year every year. And this is a senior class with Kelvin White and Chris Carnegie and a couple other guys. You know, they haven't lived through three of these losses, and they were pretty painful losses, too. So, I mean, you know, you'll see, like, I see, like, you know, officers on the sidelines watching practice indoors earlier this week. And, I mean, they're focused on, like, every little thing the players are doing. And, you know, it's pretty neat to have, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes, too, with, you know, just, you know, the practical jokes between the academies, too. That's pretty neat. And then the bonfire on Wednesday where they burn the Navy boat, you know, the pep rally. It is a pretty unique rivalry. And just to be on campus, it's an honor to cover the game, to be honest with you.
We have inside information that you actually stole the goat and you have it stored in your apartment.
Well, I have a house, and there are bears and deer that frequent my yard often. But the goat is not in northern New Jersey. It is not.
You can confirm you don't have the goat.
I don't have the goat.
You don't have the goat. For you, obviously, you have the privilege of broadcasting Army games all the time, and obviously, this is a big privilege as well to go in and broadcast something like this. Do you, you know, what is the sense that you have from other people of the importance to them who are not associated with Army or Navy, but the game is the standalone game?
Yeah, no, it's pretty important. I know a lot of people that do watch this game that are not affiliated with the team. You know, it just means so much, to, especially the stuff that's going on these days, you know, with the unfortunate incident that happened in France. You know, I mean, you know, heightened security is all over the place now. And, you know, I just don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm going to face when I go down to the stadium tomorrow as far as security-wise. I mean, I'm leaving at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'll be down there at 9:30 for a 3 o'clock game. I imagine there'll be a ton of security there. And it's just like, you know, these guys, I mean, are playing to, these guys are going off to protect the country, you know. My dad served in the Air Force. My grandfather served in the Army back in World War I. And it's just like, you know, there's just a lot. I mean, I didn't realize the impact that this game would have on me until I started covering the team.
Sure.
And, you know, I think back and look at my old photos of my grandfather and stuff like that. And just my dad telling me how he was stationed in Alaska for the Air Force, and you know, watching just in case Russians would come over. You know, it's just like, you know, it took me a while to appreciate this game and everything it's about. So.
Well, at the same time, these are also young people who are training for something else. While people on this campus are training for other degrees from engineering to liberal arts and so forth, the young men and women on the respective campuses are training for something else. What kind of individual does it take, in your opinion, to play a sport at a service academy while also training?
Yeah, an unbelievable individual, because, you know, they bring in a lot. They bring in, like, recruiting class of 70, knowing that, you know, not everybody's going to make it. Not everybody's going to make it past the first their first preseason practice. You know, there's guys that leave the team. They leave the team and they want to focus on their studies just so they can get that degree, so they can serve their country, so they can become an officer. There was a player starting this game 2 years ago, Shaq Tolbert. He wanted to focus on his studies. He left the big football team, and this year he was a star on the sprint football team, which is the lightweight football team on Army. He just said that I can focus on my studies more. It's not every day that I'm, every hour that I'm thinking about football. And so there's a guy who started in this game 2 years ago who now will be in the stands cheering his ex-teammates on. You know, it takes a lot, and, you know, it's they are special. You know what? This coaching staff does a really good job of there's a lot of camaraderie with the team, more than I've ever seen in the past. These seniors, they might not be the star players. They might not go on to NFL careers or even close to that, but they really care about representing the Army in the correct way and playing hard. And that's what they've done this year. You know, the record doesn't show it, but there's definitely a difference in how hard this team played from last year to this year.
Yeah. Is it some ways, when you talk to the young men that are playing, is playing the game, playing the sport, actually a great release for them compared to what they have to do the rest of the time?
Well, it used to be. You know, that's always the thing I used to hear from past players. But nowadays, Coach Monken in his second year, he's really focused on, hey, when you're up here, it's football. When you're right. back at 9 o'clock in your room, get your work done. You know, get your studies done. And even work on that before you come. The players probably arrive at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and probably stay as late till like 9 o'clock. You know, just looking at film, practicing, and that kind of stuff. So, you know, some it might be a relief, but to others, I mean, this is what, you know, like seniors, this is their last time they'll ever play on a football field, you know? Right. And they really cherish that moment. And then the time that they have up at the stadium, they put in a lot of work. So.
Finally, I know the game's in Philadelphia. It's gone to a couple different places along the way. Should it move around the country more, in your opinion, or is there a spot that's better than any other to play this game?
I actually like it in Philadelphia. It's kind of central to both teams. And the thing is, you can't really move this game on the West Coast unless you have, like, a billionaire that wants to, because you have to, part of the contract is transportation for the 4,000-plus cadets and midshipmen at each service academy. That's part of the play. That's why, you know, Jerry Jones, you think that Jerry Jones could afford having the game at his stadium, but, you know, it's a lot. It's an undertaking to fund all the cadets and midshipmen to transfer them to the game. And, you know, I've been to it at FedEx Field. I've been to it at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. I just think there's just more. The atmosphere, I think the atmosphere is better in Philadelphia. It's close to the game. You know, this is about 80 times the city of Philadelphia hosts the game. I think that should be the home, but they're gonna move it around just to, you know, for money, you know, for financial purposes, and try to find the best deal for the game and for the academy. Yeah.
Sal, an absolute pleasure, and by the way, it was an absolute pleasure meeting you and having you here back in early October. We appreciate it very much, and have a great time tomorrow.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for the time.
Sal Interdonato from the Army Radio Network. Army Navy tomorrow at the Lincoln, Philadelphia. We'll wrap things up in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up now and stock up for the holidays now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Don't forget about gift cards as well. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf. Let's get to some Big Ten news and notes for you. First of all, at Ohio State, the Dolphins. Washington is suspended for the Fiesta Bowl, will not play against Notre Dame after the incident that took place in Columbus with the alleged solicitation of a prostitute. Meanwhile, Chris Ash, who is leaving Ohio State as co-defensive coordinator to be the head coach at Rutgers, well, they had to fill that spot, and the former Rutgers head coach, Greg Schiano, will take Ash's spot on the Ohio State staff. He'll be co-defensive coordinator with Luke Fickell and has the title of associate head coach. If you're wondering what kind of power an associate head coach has, zero. The key is that he's co-defensive coordinator. The title of associate head coach allows him to be paid more money. That's essentially what it comes down to. The home of Maryland football for decades has been called Byrd Stadium. It will no longer be called Byrd Stadium. The Regents there voted 13-4 today to change it to Maryland Stadium. Capital One, by the way, has the naming rights to the field. It's technically Capital One Field at Maryland Stadium, but everyone's called it Byrd Stadium forever. Why did they do it? Well, former university president Curly Byrd, who played football at Maryland, was the athletic director at Maryland, and was the university president at Maryland from 1935 to 1954, used his power, they allege, to keep segregation running the athletic program and kept black Maryland students off campus. So because of that, they have decided that after all these decades to remove his name from the stadium, and now it's simply Maryland Stadium and no longer Byrd Stadium. The report by the Testudo Times was 13-4 was the final vote. The name change has been supported by Maryland student government. It's become a political issue as well in the state of Maryland. And so they are going to rename it Maryland Stadium and no longer call it Byrd Stadium. Curly Byrd played at Maryland football. He was the athletic director and then the university president from 1935 to 54. And they say it removes a connection to him because they say he used his power to keep segregation in running the athletics program and kept black Maryland students off campus during his tenure from 35 to 54. So, it's now Maryland Stadium. Big Ten news and notes. Our thanks to Cale Sanderson, to Sal Interdonato from the Army Network, and to Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Reporter. Remember how the show began? It began with Kevin complaining about what is a catch in the NFL.
That's right. We cover everything here on the Steve Jones Show.
Absolutely. The second I felt that that story had hit a brick wall, we went someplace else. It's about 30 seconds deep. What?
We're going to be talking about this for months as they decide this thing.
Biggest story of the day is not Hayward signing or that. It's about FanDuel and DraftKings being knocked out in New York.